We will have some updates for you this hour on what you hear or will hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, August the 4th. And is usually the case on the first Monday of each month on this program, my boss, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Phil Corvo, is here to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joy.
It is good to have you here.
And great to be back.
We will also invite listeners to join in with questions, feedback, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is not just what you hear on the Ideas Network, the station you're listening to now, but anything you hear on our NPR News and Classical Music Networks or other behind-the-scenes issues as well when it comes to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Phil, we had lots of news in June regarding personnel. A listener wrote into or called into our audience services department and said, "What happened to Vicki Nunn? I miss her on the NPR News and Classical Music Network. What happened to Vicki Nunn, Phil?"
Well, Vicki Nunn, unfortunately retired, but fortunately for her, I'm sure. Vicki had been with Wisconsin Public Radio since, I believe it was 1972, so 37 plus years that she'd been with Wisconsin Public Radio. She started as a working in the traffic department in a clerical position, but had a master's degree in organ performance and great knowledge of classical music. And so at some point during the, I believe it was the 80s, because I left here in 1980 for 20 years. And when I came back, I heard this wonderful classical announcer, and I thought, who is that person? Because I was running a classical music station in Sacramento, and I had come back for a visit, and I thought, boy, I should see if I can steal that one. She's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Vicki Nunn, and I thought she was just terrific. She became our music director and really did a lot over the years to help Wisconsin Public Radio grow into what it is today.
And who's in Vicki's spot now?
Well, we will be recruiting for a replacement for Vicki, for a music director.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie Elkins has been filling in on the air during that time and doing a terrific job, I think. We're fortunate to have her here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Vicki.
We wish Vicki well, and I know you did announce her retirement on this program the last time you were here, but not everybody caught that, apparently.
Not everybody listens all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Another personnel change that occurred over the past month was Randall Davidson, who, by the way, a personal story here, when I was first hired as news director here, Randall was my first part-time hire as a news director at Wisconsin Public Radio some 20 years ago or so, not quite, but almost 20 years ago. And now Randall is moving on to different pastures.
Yes, he is. He's still in the family, but he left to manage the Wisconsin Public Radio affiliate in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's a university licensee, and it carries Wisconsin Public Radio up until the early afternoon, and then switches to some student-produced programming. And Randall will be teaching there, and he's an excellent teacher and a great loss to Wisconsin Public Radio. Randall was the kind of guy who really knew every nook and cranny of the place, how it really operated. When something went wrong, he was sort of the first person that we called on to try to fix it, and also took care of many of our FCC filings and public files.
People heard him as the voice of breaks throughout the day on the Ideas Network, but also more recently the host of All Things Considered on the NPR News and Classical Music Network. And what are we going to do about that, Phil?
Well, temporarily, Michael Leland, our news director, is filling in, and that, of course, involves the preparation of newscasts. But we will, again, be recruiting for a replacement for Randall. You can never replace Randall, but All Things Considered host and reporter, producer position to try to fill in many of the things that that he was working on.
But yeah,
he's another he has done a lot for Wisconsin Public Radio. He wrote a book on the history of WHA. And
I have my copy in my office, and I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember the title.
We'll figure it out.
Is it WHA Talking?
Yes, that sounds like it.
Yes, wonderful book.
9XM Talking.
9XM Talking. Mm-hmm. It's coming back. It's still early, Joy. And so we wish them both well. We also lost, unfortunately, another longtime employee. This past month, on July 17th, Deborah Gerard, a longtime Wisconsin Public Radio audience services person and one of the people who answered the phone. If you called any time during the last 30-plus years, you often would talk to Deborah. And she passed away at the age of 57 after a struggle with cancer. And it's a great another loss to Wisconsin
Tremendous
Public Radio.
Loss,
she
yeah.
was not only a great employee and just terrific with people, helping people who called on the phone, but one of the nicest people I know, just a kind and gentle soul, and I miss her a lot.
Rest in peace, Deborah. Yeah. I'll always remember Deborah and her love of animals. She used to find feral kittens underneath her porch, and she would rescue them from the wild, and before they became too wild, and she would try to adopt them out to everybody here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And I bet you there are some who have those kitties now. All right, so that's all the personnel news, I think, Phil. We do have some special programming coming up this week with Larry Mueller on location, broadcasting from the Wisconsin State Fair this week.
I just thought, too, I don't know if we had announced that Rob Ferret and Cynthia Schuster
We did when the they were first hired, say it again.
Now we will again. And Cynthia Schuster, who was the producer of Calling All Pets, has shifted over to work in the morning producing your show, Joy, and as did Rob Ferret, who also is a former producer of national programming.
So, and Rob was also the producer when Tom Clark sat in this chair.
Oh, that's right.
More than 5 years ago.
And see, they never go away.
Well,
I never went away.
We are happy to have Rob back and Cynthia in this new role at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can't leave us, can you, Phil?
It's a great addition to the show, and I'm really glad they're here.
I am too. Well, let's talk about these remotes that we have coming up. I know I am really looking forward to a remote tour that we're going to be doing in the fall. But first, Larry Mueller will be broadcasting this week from the Wisconsin State Fair.
On Wednesday, from 11 to 12:30, he'll be on stage in Center Mall with one of our regular guests, Scott Craven, Professor of Wildlife Ecology and Associate Chair of the UW Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology, and that should be a wonderful show. Scott is always a great guest, and he's going to talk about the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife. And Larry will also be talking with John Greenler, Director of Education and Outreach at Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center at UW-Madison.
But the important thing, Phil, is will Larry be bringing us cream puffs back?
Well, you know, he's got a lot of requests in. I hope he brings a big vehicle.
Yeah. So why do we do things like this anyway, Phil? Why do we sometimes have our talk shows on location outside of the studio?
Well, it gets us out into the community. It's good for the hosts, and I think it's good for the listeners, too, to be able to hear us at various events around the state. And you mentioned that you'll be going around the state.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to the joy ride. That's what we're calling it.
Is that what you settled on? Oh, boy.
It's Wisconsin Public Radio hits the campaign trail. And we will, starting in September, mid-September, and through all of September and October, every Friday, Fridays only, we are taking the show on the road, including the Week in Review program that we do every Friday during the 8 o'clock hour. But this will be a blast. We'll talk with candidates. We'll talk with political commentators and experts. We'll talk with just interesting people, colorful people, and regional issues all over the state of Wisconsin from 6 until 9 every Friday, starting on September 19th. We will be in Superior. That's the first leg of the program.
I think that's terrific. It also gives listeners around the state a chance to see and talk to our program hosts. We get a better feel for what's going around the state for future shows as well. And we try to get out of the confines of Wisconsin, of Vilas Hall and the Milwaukee Center once in a while to broadcast from different locations, and I think it's a very good thing.
Yeah, we'll put information on our website as it becomes a little bit more set. We're still working on specific guests and locations, but we will be on September the 19th in Superior, on September 26th in Sturgeon Bay in Door County, in conjunction with the Wisconsin Public Radio Association meeting that's going to be happening then. Then in Madison on October 3rd, location TBA, maybe the state capital. We'll see if we can do that. October 10th, Milwaukee, location TBA, but maybe the Milwaukee Center.
During the pledge drive.
Mm-hmm, that's right. October 17th, we'll be in the La Crosse area, actually going to be broadcasting from Onalaska. And on October the 24th, broadcasting from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, my alma mater. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And on October the 31st, in River Falls, somewhere on the UW-River Falls campus. So that's what we know so far. We have some planned programs in the works, invitations out to guests, and as this all gets together, we'll post all of it on the website. And you know what, Phil? We always are looking for great ideas for people in these regions who might be great guests talking about politics or listener ideas of issues you'd like us to cover. You can always let us know. Why don't you go to our website, WPR.org, and you'll see a bunch of places there where you can submit ideas and feedback and questions. So click on one of those links and send us your idea.
I think it'll be fun and interesting, and it's been a while since you've been out.
Never, really. Actually, I take that back. When Tom Clark was hosting this program on the 10-year anniversary of the creation of the Ideas Network, which was back in 2000, I traveled around with Tom at that time. So, yeah, it's been a while. It'll be fun. All right. How about you? What questions do you have for Phil Corveau, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio? He's here once a month to share news about Wisconsin Public Radio and to hear your feedback about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. And surprisingly, we have an open line for you, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn is back from her vacation, and she will be in after 9 to talk politics. And she will be joined by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, look at this, and Republican strategist Dave Winston. That's coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. Right now, we are talking about the latest news about Wisconsin Public Radio and taking your questions and feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio during our monthly visit from Director Phil Corveau. Phil is here just about every first Monday of the month during this hour to talk with you. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Here's a complaint, Phil, that came into our listener services department in the past month. I am writing to express my amazement and disappointment with your abrupt discontinuation of the broadcast at about 6:30 p.m. on July the 9th. I have been an avid WPR listener and contributor for many years, and this is the biggest lapse in professional conduct that I have ever witnessed. Apparently, this listener was listening to a program. We don't know exactly what station the listener was tuned to from this entry in our listener's log, but apparently the program, which would be on point that he or she was listening to, abruptly went off the air, and no explanation. What gives, Phil?
Well, we have 29 transmitters around the state that we take care of and try to keep running, and try to keep running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're not always successful. I can say that 90 to 95% of the time a station does go off the air for some reason. It's not planned, so it's not possible to announce it ahead of time. The listener went on to say if the transmitter was going to burst into flames, you could have announced it. Well, we often don't know. In fact,
usually don't know when the transmitters burst into flames.
Well, in fact, at WHHI Highland, which is due to be the facility is due to be replaced during this coming year, the transmission line, which carries the signal from the transmitter to the antenna, did burst into flames some months ago. And we had no inkling of it until it happened. The times that we do know a transmitter is going to be off the air for maintenance, for example, we occasionally have to go down to replace tower lights on the tower because the tower climbers can't climb past the antenna when it's on at full power. Or in the case of Highland, for example, and some of the other stations, we're in the process of converting them to digital, so they need to go off the air for a period of time. Those things, when we do know it, we will try to announce it ahead of time. Of course, not everybody will be listening to the announcement, and some people will not catch it. But we are making an effort to try, when we know a station is going to be off the air, one of the 29 stations, to make an announcement. But as I say, 90 to 95, and we log all of these, and we talk about them every week, but more than 90% of the time, these outages are not planned. It's not just the transmitter and antenna, but it's the system that we use to get the signal to the transmitter, which often involves phone lines, and that's out of our hands as well. We use equalized phone lines to get the signal to many of the stations and or a broadcast interconnect, which is a fiber optic. And sometimes those lines get cut or the phone lines go down, and we have no warning of that as well.
Yeah, and it obviously is frustrating to a listener who
all of a sudden...
It's frustrating
to all of us. Yeah. we hate being down. You know, my goal is to be up and running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 29 transmitters, but sometimes they do go down.
And it's not the answer for everyone, especially if you're in your car or something, but if you're really engrossed in a program and that happens, the internet would be one possible solution to at least continue listening to the program. Another complaint from a listener during the past month. I enjoy the call-in programs, but am annoyed by the limited number of callers actually put on the air. I would appreciate less host questioning of guests and more caller involvement. And goes on to cite some examples of hosts piling the guest with endless silly questions and not taking as many calls as could be taken.
Well, I might be saying something controversial here, but the primary purpose of the show is to serve the listeners. At any one point in time, for example, during this program, and I'm looking at the fall Arbitron figures, about 17,000 people on average are listening. During the course of a week, during this hour, more than 60,000 people tune in. Even if we double the number of callers from 15 to 30, it's a tiny, tiny percentage of a percent. And if the purpose of the program were to get as many callers on the air as possible, I don't think it would be as good a program, quite frankly. I think The purpose of the callers is to bring in different points of view, to ask questions that perhaps the host hasn't thought of, to elicit some responses from the host from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose, the primary purpose of the shows are not to serve the callers. They're to serve the listeners, which comprise 99.999% of the people using the program. Yeah.
And I will say, though, that most of the hosts on Wisconsin Public Radio appreciate and respect the
Absolutely.
Callers. And
it's an important component.
We want to put as many callers and viewpoints and questions on the air that advance the discussion as possible. We really, I appreciate it when we have a number of callers waiting to participate in a conversation like we do now. So let's go to Peggy in Waukesha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. When I was traveling, I caught the Diane Reams show and was very interested if we could hear that.
We do get requests from that. That's a program. It's a call-in talk program that is produced at WAMU, I believe, in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane Rehm is a terrific host. It's a syndicated program, as is On Point with Tom Ashbrook, that we do carry in the evenings. It's something that we consider from time to time. I forget the time it's on live.
It's on from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. our time.
Central
so that
time.
Means that if Diane Rehm were put on live, you wouldn't have... Kathleen Dunn live.
Oh, that's terrible. We can't do that.
Yeah, see,
okay,
that's...
Okay, how about New Dimensions?
Well, New Dimensions is a show that...
I've never heard of that program.
Well, I'm thinking to myself now, is it still being produced? Have you heard it recently? Because I remember it from the past, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it around lately.
Okay, I had just listened to a CD of it and thought, oh, this would be great to have.
Mm-hmm. Not sure it's still being produced.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Peggy. And Peggy points out something. There are various programs that are available through the system, through NPR or a distributor of public radio programming. But then you always have to decide, Phil, what do you take off the air to put this program on?
We could fill many stations mm-hmm. with the programs that are available, and never wanting to direct listeners to other sources. But many of them are available online if you want to listen online to the station that's producing the program, in this case, WAMU.
Yeah. Here's another question in our listener logs. Hi, are there any Wisconsin Public Radio networks on satellite radio? If not, are there any plans to get the networks on satellite radio?
Well, we'd love to have the networks on satellite radio, but they're not interested in carrying Wisconsin Public Radio networks. Now, the national programs that we do produce, What Do You Know, and To the Best of Our Knowledge, and Calling All Pets, and Zorba Pastor on Your Health, are on one or the other of the satellite networks. I believe it's Sirius. They're merging now, so it'll be a moot point. We'll see what the lineup is after the merger. National Public Radio has a channel on, I believe it's XM, that carries many popular NPR programs. So there is some public radio on the networks, but it would be nice if we could have the Ideas Network on the satellite network, but they're not interested at this point.
You know, I'm wondering, Phil, if... It would be nice. That'd be wonderful. But I'm not sure nationally everybody's interested in some of the state issues that we do on this program in particular.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice too if satellite radio could be kind of localized to
Wouldn't
some
that
extent,
be nice?
Like television, where you can get your local channels from the satellite. Mm-hmm. That would be terrific.
Diane in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What would be the feasibility of bringing back Lynn Rosetto Casper and the Splendid Table? I just loved that program. And being in La Crosse, I can get it through Minnesota Public Radio occasionally, but not on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
And if she does it both, I think, Saturday and Sunday, but on an evening instead of listening to the same morning programs again, couldn't you play like a tape of that show?
Oh, sure. We could broadcast it anytime we wanted. It is produced in Minnesota Public Radio and was carried for a time on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and it costs some money to put it on, of
right,
course.
Right, right, mm-hmm. As do most mm-hmm. of the programs that we acquire. But I wrote it down, Diane. We have had some requests for that, and we'll take a look at that when we, this summer, we'll be taking another look at the program schedule and seeing just kind of a comprehensive check-in, what works, what's working and what's not working from the program changes we made almost 2 years ago now. And and so we may see some changes in the future, but thanks
okay.
for your thanks
well, good.
For your suggestion.
Yeah, that's good news. So should there be any changes, they might occur at the beginning of next year, or any idea when
Yeah, I think we need to, now that Mike Crane is on board, who's our Chief Operating Officer and Program Director, and he's had a chance to get his mm-hmm. feet wet. The staff and he will be taking a look at the program schedule and benefiting from some of his insights. And if we make some changes, I would foresee it would be near the end of the calendar year.
Well, I'm going to anticipate another listener question along those same lines. Sound money. Or not sound money, excuse me, Kevin McKinley on Your Money is a program that a lot of people call in or write in about and say that they miss hearing on Sunday mornings. Are there still some thoughts about bringing that program back?
Well, it was a staffing issue at one point, mm-hmm. and his producer left, and it's still, I consider it still on hiatus. Kevin is a great guy. I think he does a wonderful show, and it was quite popular. So never say never. I'd love to see Kevin back on the air.
Wayne and Holman is with us now. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Wayne.
I'm one of those conservatives that really enjoy public radio. we need a few more of us on public radio, but I think Joy does a great job, as well as all your staff. My quick question to your screener was, and she said you probably couldn't help me, but I know you're searching to be fair and balanced, and I've heard you say that many times. And I know, Joy, and I say respectfully, you had a guest on about a month ago who was an author that wrote a book, John McCain in the News Media. And it was pretty much a tough hour for me to listen to, because he was not kind to John. And then, of course, a couple callers, and I think you'll remember this, Joy, called in and said John killed 132 servicemen on board an aircraft carrier, and his wife's a thief. And so I'm wondering about balance and counterbalance. Are you guys foreseeing any programming, I know, on that would maybe speak a little more kindly to John McCain? And I know Barack Obama gets pretty good press right now, but I guess I'm looking for fair and balance on all networks, including the AM conservative talk shows.
Well, it's people like you that remind mm-hmm. us that our mission is to remain neutral and to try to present all of our guests. What we do track is we try to track the political affiliations of our guests so that we have a balanced mix of guests. As far as an individual program, it may tilt one way or another, but we need people like you to remind us to try to keep it in the middle. We aren't an advocacy network. We don't promote political views one way or another, at least not intentionally.
No.
And it's a good thing to keep in mind, Wayne, especially as we get toward this election season.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, Wayne, that I, you know, it's you're referring to a caller who made those negative.
Absolutely, no yeah. way in heck am I inferring that yeah. public radio made that statement.
Right.
And so I appreciate you and all of the folks that are hosts. You guys come well prepared, and go Brett. I had to get that in, guys.
Now, let me ask you, Wayne.
That leads us to another comment.
It does.
Here.
It does, in fact. I
apologize.
No, that's good.
Wayne, hold on, because here's a complaint that came in this month. Please take the sports off your news and talk shows. I hate sports. They don't want to hear about Brewer scores. Callers don't want to hear about Brett Favre. Will he stay or will he go? What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you something. You can't have politics 24/7. And there needs to be some levity and some different joys in life. And I didn't mean that's no pun intended.
That's okay. That's okay.
You're a sweetie. But, you know, I just to those guys that can't do anything or talk about anything but hard politics, you know, you got to get a life a little bit. Enjoy everything that life has to offer. And, you know, just be happy with yourself. I kind of wish some of the liberals I hear would be a little more happy. I mean, I love the Packers and I love the Bucks and I love the Brewers and I love Madison and I played football for UWL, so I'm kind of a sports nut. But anyway, to those folks, they're entitled to their opinion, but I don't agree with it.
Thank you, Wayne, and we try to do what we can.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. That was a well-timed comment, because I have heard that before. It's, you know, why do you guys do sports? Commercial stations do sports. Well, I think that we don't exist in a vacuum, and there are some things, I think, that give us a sense of place as Milwaukee and Green Bay and Wisconsin. And when, you know, when Brett Favre is deciding whether to play for the Packers, I mean, that's something that not everyone is interested in, but some people are. And when we do stories on that, we try to approach it from a different angle, more of a human interest angle. The fact is, some liberals and some conservatives are interested in sports, and although we don't concentrate on it, we don't ignore it as well.
Absolutely. And Wayne, thank you for the feedback. We'll certainly be on the lookout for more pro-John McCain guests. We do try to do that on a regular basis. Ed in West Allis is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
The main comment this morning is the absolute dearth of arts reporting on public radio in this state.
Yeah.
The host in this venue have neither the expertise nor the interest to cover the arts. We have a major symphonic season in Milwaukee this year with the departure of Andreas Delfs, who I don't think has ever been a guest on Wisconsin Public Radio. We had the announcement last year of Adel DeVart as the music director designate of the Milwaukee Symphony, also didn't get covered. And we have Mahler's Symphony No. 8, which is the epicenter of all symphonic music, coming up in June. And I think it would behoove public radio to cover the arts a little bit more thoroughly. And just to answer my conservative friend there before me, those of us in the working class would have a little bit more joy if we didn't see our jobs being shipped overseas and our factories closed. And we do want a labor hour coming up on public radio. We deserve it, and we don't deserve it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
A what hour?
A labor hour.
Oh, a labor hour. Well, thanks, Ed. You know, I tend to agree with you. I think that we are a little sometimes low on arts reporting. I will point out that a lot of arts reporting and broadcasting is done on the other network, the NPR News and Classical Music Network, which unfortunately in West Allis we don't have that.
WUWM does some arts reporting, doesn't it? Maybe not.
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. They're mostly focused on news, but they may do some. I would like, and we used to have at one time we had a regional arts program on WHAD in Milwaukee that focused on arts related issues. It was a weekly call-in program, and we may try to revive something like that. But I agree, the arts are important. It's an important component of our lives, and we have to keep in mind that not everyone in the state can receive both networks.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ed. Quickly on whether, because we're running close to a break here, Phil, as to whether we should have a labor program? You're talking about workers' issues, organized labor, David Nubian or whatever.
You know, if we could find the right guest, it might.
Well, I certainly think we can do them as programs, as labor issues are in the news, as individual talk shows. But I think what Ed and others in the past have advocated for was a weekly program, you know, like a regular weekly program that's the labor show?
Well, it's an important it's an important topic. It's something we could certainly look into.
Thanks very much, Ed, for the call. We are talking with Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's here to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Answer your questions, respond to your feedback. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you. It's All Things Political after 9 o'clock and her August open line after 10. I'm talking with Phil Corvo. Phil is here the first Monday of the month, usually every first Monday of the month, to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to hear your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is Joe in Eagle River. Hi, you're on the air.
Morning, Joy and Phil. Today I'm an early riser, and I used to enjoy hearing a program at 5 in the morning call, as it happens, and now it's not on anymore. I understand it's an evening program, but I don't listen to the radio at night. And I'm just wondering if there's any possibility of rebroadcasting that again at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the comment. That's, again, something that was one of the program changes that that we'll be evaluating. The reason we put it on in the evening is because it is an afternoon program from this Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's broadcast live, I believe it's at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time. And by the next morning, particularly Friday's program on Monday morning, was getting a little old. And although it's a magazine program, there are a number of news-related items in it. And so we wanted to put it on at a time when it was more topical. Whether that was a good move or not, you don't think so. And so we'll take a look at that.
I can appreciate it, being done live at night, but the next morning, even the Friday program, it was kind of entertaining. And be honest with you, when I listen to BBC for most of the night, it can get kind of depressing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that, as it happened, it was just really a fun program and kind of a nice way to start the day while we're waiting for Joy to come on.
Joe, between you and me, I agree.
You don't like the cricket scores?
The cricket scores on BBC have... I think they're gone away now, but I miss the laughs that you would get with As It Happens, whereas the BBC is kind of dry.
It is a whole different flavor. Yeah. And Joe, when do you sleep?
Usually by 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. See, so by 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm raring to go, and about an hour of that BBC, and that's about all I can take of the depressing news of the world.
Thank you very much, Joe. Glad to have you along early in the morning. Randy in Green Bay is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Joy. Listen to you every morning. Love you. Keep up the good work. Couple
Thank
of
you.
Comments. And regarding sports on public radio, there are times when sports actually becomes the news. When a sports story is so big, sometimes the weather becomes the news. That's my analogy there. And to sponsorship mention, some people seem to construe those as advertisements. I do not. I mean, unless there is a call to action that says buy now or something like that, I don't construe those as advertising in any form. So those are my comments. Programming is great. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, thanks a lot, Randy, and I appreciate both of those comments. We do try very hard with our what we call sponsorships or underwriting announcements to keep them. We're one of the most conservative, I think, of public broadcasters in the country in terms of our guidelines. There are certain FCC guidelines. We are not allowed to, for instance, give price information or a call to action or things like that. It has to be factual. And on the other hand, we are obliged to recognize companies who do donate money to the station on the air. It's something that if a program is sponsored, we're required to mention the sponsor. So where's the happy ground in between? It would be great if we could turn back the clock to 1970 and be entirely state supported and not need to have sources of income from listeners and members and companies and businesses in the area as well. But we do, that is the fact, and that's, in fact, comprises most of our operating budget. So we try to be as tasteful as possible, and thanks for the comment.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Randy. Another comment from our listener log. Musical interludes on Joy Cardine, or as discussed on Joy Cardine. This is when Cheryl was on last month for you, Phil. And says here, Cheryl Gasser was quick to defend one listener's comment regarding the increasing use of musical interludes during certain programming on the Ideas Network. Her comments were along the lines of, we need to keep up with current practices in radio or some such. Oh yeah? Well, guess why many of us listen to WPR in the first place? It isn't like regular radio. This person doesn't want to hear any music snippets on Wisconsin Public Radio. What's your position on music, Phil?
Well, I have to say that I tend to agree with many of the comments of the listener. I don't, and you know this, Joy, I don't like, I don't particularly like theme music on talk shows, and I don't like a lot of music, but there are times when music is appropriate. If there's a musical snippet or recording of something that's topical to the show, the show you did, it must have been years ago now, but you had a part of the song Who Let the Dogs Out, and it's still still remember that. Mm-hmm. And it was related to what the topic
right
was.
I wouldn't play that as the theme to this program, Phil, right, for example.
I'm interested to hear what other listeners think. You know, most of the, well, virtually all of the national talk shows, like Talk of the Nation from NPR and On Point with Tom Ashbrook,
they all have music,
theme music. I tend to like to keep it more pure, but I don't know if that's just my personal taste, or it's mm-hmm. certainly not borne out with any research or yeah. studies or anything like that. But when there's a piece of audio, either a news clip or a music clip that might be very related and help advance the topic of the show, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we aren't adding theme songs to all of our talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, but we are playing some music underneath the top of the hour introduction to the program, for example. But it's different music, not necessarily theme music.
Well, and I do have to say that several weeks ago, maybe it's a month or more ago, I was listening to one of our shows in the afternoon, and there was music on, and it seemed to be going on and on and on. And I thought, what is going on with this? Well, it turns out we lost the feed from, I think it was Talk of the Nation. So
that was film music.
that was in place of dead air.
Yeah, yeah. Back to the phones. Dave in Fitchburg. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is directed to Wayne's comment about what he called fair and balanced. Believe me, here in what a lot of conservatives and others call the People's Republic of Madison, the only media organization to have both sides on is Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't always like when they have people on, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio has people on that disagree with me. But you can call up and you can challenge the guests and sometimes even get a follow-up. And personally, I've been able to challenge it. I'm a nobody, and anyone can challenge, you know, the guests. I've been able to challenge Pat Buchanan, David Horowitz, and other professors and others who don't share my view. Mm-hmm. And it's really fantastic, and they do have both sides on. And often it's not just both sides, but it's many sides on.
Thanks, Dave. That's what we try to do. And yeah. I'm glad you called in those programs.
Yeah, I remember the Horowitz program. That was a great show. Yeah, thanks, Dave. That is what we try to do. And you know, in the sense that I agree with that last comment you said, too. It's not just both sides. There are usually more than two sides to a story. There are many sides to a story. And so that's what our mission is. And I think we generally succeed very well, but we certainly try all the time.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave. John in West Salem now. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I wanted to comment on that, you know, having all sides on the show. I sort of disagree. I think you do try very hard, and you have many guests from many sides of an issue. But the one thing you don't have, and I think is a moderator who presents the conservative side of the issue. Mm-hmm. The moderators are almost all, well, I think they are all fairly liberal in their political persuasion.
Yeah, how would you know that, John?
Well, just by listening to the questions, because questions and things that are brought to light by moderators are they're bringing to light sort of the liberal side, and they're questioning as if they were a conservative guest. They might question sort of as a hostile guest.
I'm failing in my duty, John. I understand what you're saying. We're kind of running short on time. That's why. But the role of the host here, Phil, is to ask challenging questions of all guests, no matter what the guest's political point of view is or what the host's political point of view is. It's the host's views are not important, and we're supposed to be asking tough questions of all sides.
Right.
So when you're hearing that, someone's falling down.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Right, Phil?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are, if the show could be run by machines, I think it would be a different show. We are human. We all do, most of us, I think, vote, and we do, most of us have certain political views. We do try to keep them out of the conversation as much as possible, and sometimes we fall down, and thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, here's an email from Frank and Howard. Let's have less phone-ins and more produced programs similar to Analysis on the BBC World Service. What about that, Phil?
Well, we do on weekends and on some of the other programs. To the best of our knowledge, is a program produced here that has very in-depth and very well done interviews with a variety of guests on different topics, University of the Air and some of the other programs that you can hear when you go to WPR.org and look at the program schedule. There's a This American Life sometimes touches on things. On the Media is another one, usually on weekends, Saturday and Sunday afternoons. If the caller is asking about more in-depth interview programs just about Wisconsin, that's something we could take a look at, too.
Yeah. Thanks for all of your suggestions. We got some good comments
Very
and feedback
good.
This
Very
hour,
good.
Phil. And you will be back with us on the first Monday in September.
I think it's September 1st or
yeah.
something
We'll have
like
to work
that.
Around that regular Labor Day program that we have on the first Monday in September. But you'll be here.
I'm available whenever you want me.
that's right. Thank you so much, Phil. We appreciate you being in here. And we appreciate all of your feedback and questions. You can always send your questions and comments about Wisconsin Public Radio programming. Go to our website, WPR.org. You'll see some links there for feedback, listener feedback, for program suggestions, comments. Email away. You can also send us your comments via regular mail. Our address is 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can also call Audience Services at 1-800-747-7444. So all sorts of ways for you to stay in touch with Wisconsin Public Radio, and Phil Corvo will be back and is always here, almost always here, on the first Monday of every month during this hour. Thanks to Rob Ferret and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.